Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and I appreciate you joining me today. It is it's another fun show. I'm really looking forward to this. My guest today is Caitlin Studdy. She is the owner and creative director of South Street and Company, a digital marketing agency that specializes in helping small to medium businesses grow their reach online. Caitlin, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And listen, one of the things that I always am looking for when I'm trying to find guests is people that are creative, people that are kind of really knowledgeable in an area, but also slightly outside the box thinkers. And so when I was reading what you're doing, it was like, I'm not reading the same old, you know, and it's really impressive. So let me just start with this. What is like South Street and Company? What kind of services do you guys provide?
Yes. So we are a digital marketing agency that specializes in helping small to medium service-based companies grow their reach online. And our target market is also trying to reach a local clientele. So not just local to where we are, but local to where they are, getting people into their business.
All right. And by service businesses, you mean?
Yes. So like a plumber, a roofer, a bookkeeping company, a dog sitting company, all of those. And then we help them with their website, social media, search engine optimization, blogging, email marketing, and coaching.
That's cool. So it's a one-stop shop for all of the online stuff that folks are doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent. So, and you're working with people that are, it's not manufacturers, you're working with people that are providing a service, and that makes a whole lot of sense. And I guess, where do you like to start working with them in the process? I'm assuming that, you know, once somebody's got a business established, they're coming to you, but are there steps that you like suggest for people who are just starting a business and thinking about being online? Do you have some guidelines for people who are starting out as well as for people who are kind of in business?
Yeah. So what we do is when someone reaches out to us and they have a business that they started, or they've been in business for a couple of years and they're ready to take their marketing to the next level and get leads in from their online efforts, we always start with their logo. So your logo and your branding kind of dictates everything else. So logo is number one, website is number two, because now, you know, the yellow pages exist, but no one uses them anymore. They use Google.
Right.
So yeah. And that's like your online portfolio. And then from there, once your website is done, then you move into the monthly marketing. So you could think of that. I always describe your website as the train station because it's stationary. And the trains that bring people to that station are search engine optimization, email marketing, social media, because those are how people get to your website. So once your website's launched, step three is moving into the monthly marketing.
It makes a whole lot of sense. So I never really thought about the fact that you've got to start with your logo. And tell me a little bit about how does a logo, why is it so important?
Yeah, well, let's just take an iconic brand, Starbucks, right? They have their Starbucks logo. It's that green color. It's consistent. The only time it's not is around the holidays, which is fun. But when you even see a green straw, it doesn't even say Starbucks on it. You automatically associate it with Starbucks. So your logo dictates everything moving forward. And your logo is the basis of the colors and the look of your website too. So if you were to go on Starbucks website, they wouldn't have random colors. It would probably be green, whites, maybe some grays and blacks to go along with it. And then of course, any campaigns that are a different color throughout there. So it's really, I would say it's the compass pointing your business in the direction to keep everything consistent.
Never thought of that. And now one thing that I did learn about was that the power of color in that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there like certain colors that go with certain types of businesses, or what is it that the colors elicit that you are choosing for logos?
Well, I'll give you an example. Red, studies show that red evokes hunger. So if you think of the McDonald's logo, there is red and yellow in that. Cool, calming colors are really great colors to be associated with medical practices, because you would not want to have a bright red logo for a dermatologist because it looks like blood.
Right.
So that would be pretty bad. So cool, calming colors are great for like doctor's offices or medical practices.
This is why I had you on the show, because this is stuff I've never really thought, like, I've thought about it from the perspective of, I think this is related, but I've never thought about it to the extent of what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of drew you into this business? Is this kind of a vision that you've had for a long time, or is this, you know, what is it that got you started in doing this?
Yeah, no, it wasn't a vision. My parents growing up had always been advocates of being an entrepreneur, but we were always kind of taught about it. And in my family, there are other entrepreneurs as well. But after college, I graduated with a degree in marketing, looked for a job, went on, my parents joked with me. They said I was a professional interviewer because I went on 30 plus interviews.
Right.
Because sales and marketing in the real world, air quotes there, the real world, they're kind of looked as almost the same thing sometimes. And so I applied for a marketing job, but it was really cold calling. And believe it or not, I found my first job before I started my company on Craigslist.
Wow.
Yeah. They advertised on Craigslist for someone with a marketing background, and it was for a local dermatology office. And then it was the easiest interview out of those 30 plus ones that I went on, and they hired me and we negotiated everything. And then I started 2 weeks later and then helped them rebrand the whole company, new logo, slogan, colors, website, implemented digital marketing. And then in the 2.5 years that I was there, when I started, they had 10 offices. And when I left, they had 20. So 17 in Central Florida and then 3 out of state.
Wow. So how do you help people understand the differentiation between that sales and marketing concept? Because to me, I think that they do get kind of confused a lot.
Yeah, to me, well, going back to the positions that I applied for, a lot of them are cold calling behind the phone, and they called it a marketing position, but that's really a sales position because you're selling to people. I think that the difference is marketing, you are explaining to people why they need something and you're in front of them when they are looking for it. So search engine optimization as an example.
Okay, that's great. And let me just ask, how did you come up with the name?
The name was one of the hardest things ever. I think I'm a really creative person, and the name was one of the areas of opportunity, I'll call it. So I lived off of South Street in Orlando, where our office is. I lived off of South Street, and I really liked Tiffany and Co. So I just kind of like South Street and Co. Let's just merge it together. And then since we work with local businesses, there's a South Street in every city. So I felt like it was kind of fitting for that too.
Yeah. I have to say, I grew up outside of Philadelphia, and the South Street in Philadelphia is kind of like this eclectic. It was a fun place for us to go visit. It was almost like the 1970s got stuck on South Street, and you could find all kinds of fun shops, and it was just fantastic. So when you say South Street and Company, it has a certain warm and friendly, reminds me of my childhood and fun thing. It reminds me of my teenage years and fun things that I used to do there. So I love that.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
So as you're at the dermatologist for 2.5 years, and mm-hmm. then what kind of prompted you to make the move to say, okay, I'm coming from here and I'm going to go do my own thing?
I felt like I reached a plateau there. I didn't really know how much further I could take them. And in the digital marketing, it was kind of, that was the secondary focus. The primary focus was me going out and meeting with doctors who did refer or who could refer. So kind of like a brand ambassador for the dermatology company. And I liked doing that, but we had 17 offices in the area. And so as you can imagine, I would drive over here one day and then 45 minutes the other day, and, you know, all around. And I liked it, but, you know, there are only so many podcasts you can listen to in one day while being on the road. So I was introduced to my first client in February 2014, and she was a family friend and was paying a company that she just didn't really know what she was getting from them and wanted different results. So I helped her organize her website, helped her with her search engine optimization and social media. And then she referred me to my second client. And then I got into daytime networking, like a leads group or a BNI group, if you've heard of those. And then that was really the catalyst that helped me put in my 2 weeks notice. But in that time, it was a lot of work. It was waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning, working until 6:30, going to work from 8 to 5, coming home, working till 11. And it took me a little over a year to build up my clientele so that I could leave and I wouldn't fall flat on my face.
Right. In essence, what you were doing is working two jobs. So yeah. to phase one of them out and to phase the other one in, it makes sense. Do you have any tips for other folks that are like, you know what, I feel like I'm chained to my desk. I feel like I'm stuck in working for somebody else. Maybe I have plateaued as well. Any thoughts for them on starting their business, what they can learn from how you did it?
Yeah, I would say I listened to a lot of podcasts, like I said, but I also surrounded myself with really amazing people. So get mentors and get coaches. In the beginning, I had a business coach. And if you're just starting out, I couldn't really afford to pay a lot of money. So I went to the SBDC, and there's a local branch in a lot of the cities across the US, and the government pays for it. And so you can get a business coach at no cost, which was ideal starting out. So I got a business coach, and he really helped me kind of move in the right direction. Scaling is always difficult too. So having someone to run ideas by is also really great. And I think also utilizing LinkedIn to ask other people their experiences and what they would have changed, because that's exactly what I did. I reached out to a friend from college, and we kind of knew each other, but not really well. And he just posted on Facebook saying that he had started his company, and if anyone was thinking about it, he would love to grab coffee with them. And I reached out to him after, you know, not being in contact for a couple of years, and we grabbed coffee together, and he gave me all of this amazing advice and kind of like pushed me in the right direction.
Sure. And SBDC is the Small Business Development Center. Is that right?
Yes. It's either the Small Business Development Center or Small Business Development Council. I can't remember which one, but yes.
Okay. And I'm assuming anybody who's interested in utilizing their services, if you Google SBDC, you'll find something hopefully local for you, and yes, they can help you out. Okay. So you establish your business, you're doing a lot of marketing, you're helping folks with their online presence, helping folks with search engine optimization and marketing. Now, are there things that you're doing or things that you're suggesting that are a little bit out of the box or a little bit, you know, like different thinking as far as marketing options for folks today?
Well, I mean, I think that this is a great example being on podcasts. Podcasts, there's a study that said that even advertising or being guests on podcasts is just increasing so much because of the pandemic. Everyone's at home or in different environments and listening to smart people talk about different ideas. So I think that is really out of the box and something new. And something else too is, I would not ever discount local influencers. People that have a following that they've built up on social media, on particular platforms, are increasingly growing in recognition. And so many businesses can partner with them and utilize them to help get their message out as well.
I love that. And I was thinking about one of the things that we talked about earlier in our pre-interview. You were talking about the importance of not just having a website, but having some other presence online. And you didn't mention social media as much. You mentioned a Google My Business profile. Can you talk about those and why they're so important? And is it difficult to get one of those, or how does it work?
Yes. So a Google My Business profile, it's also been called Google Local, but it's the map listing that pops up when you search locally in your area. So let's say you're searching for dry cleaner near me, you'll see the top three options pop up in the maps listing on Google. Now, the Google My Business page is free And anyone can claim their own Google My Business page. You'll just, all you have to do is type in Google My Business in Google, and then it'll pop up. And then it'll prompt you to enter your address. It will need to verify that you are the business owner, and that'll be via phone, or they'll send you a postcard. But the really amazing thing with this is another free opportunity for local businesses to show up online to their target clientele. Because if someone's searching in your local area for your business, you want to show up. So you can put your hours of location. You can put your website on there. That's where you'll have your Google reviews. And it's completely important and essential to claim it, because if people ask a question, you want to be the one to answer. If people leave a review, positive or negative, you want to go ahead and reply to that as well.
How important are those reviews?
Oh my gosh. Well, there's a study that says that 87% of people who see an online review attribute it to as trustworthy as a recommendation from a friend. So 87% of people.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. And the issue that I think is most reviews that are prompted, at least in my experience, I'm more prompted to write negative reviews than I am to write positive reviews. How do you work in that environment?
Yeah. So people are 7 times more likely to leave a negative review than they are a positive one, because it's affected their day. What I do is whenever we have completed a project, I make sure that everything's good on their end. If I ask them if they need anything else from us, and then I thank them for working with us. And I call it a rave review. So I say, this is like an overview of the email that I write. I say, hi, so-and-so. Thank you so much for using us for your website project. Reviews online help us come up, or help us appear in the Google search, just like you found us online or something along those lines.
Right.
And then I say, if you would please leave us a Google review, here's the link. It's greatly appreciated. And then I say, thanks in advance. So hopefully saying thanks in advance will prompt them to leave it.
Right. Well, yeah. And it's the negative reviews come unprompted. But what you're saying is, to get the positive reviews, sometimes you've got to ask for them. And I would imagine that people that you've done a good job for are more than willing to say, hey, this is an organization, this is a company that did a great job for us.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So, I mean, I love it. Do you find that people are willing to do that? I've heard people suggest like giving them boilerplate template, you know, give them boilerplate language for that. Is that kind of too much, or what are your thoughts on that?
It depends on the industry. So for us as a marketing agency, we don't have a high amount of clients that we're continuously finishing projects for. We work with clients more on a monthly basis. But if you're someone like an AC company, and you know, you have 5 trucks out there, and you all see 50 people a day, or however many people,
right,
that's a little bit different. So I like to make it personal. So I personally, as the owner, send the email and thank them. And if you are an AC company or a plumbing company that has a lot of projects that you complete, what we've done for clients is we have added it to the invoice. So it says, if you're happy with our services, please click here and leave us a Google review. There's text message review marketing that you can do. So setting up, if you communicate with your customers through text messaging, you can ask them for a Google review when you like check out, or another option for when they interact with you.
That's, yeah, so smart. What about businesses that aren't kind of the local service business, right? So you're talking about, you know, a dry cleaner, a roofer, someone who is doing business in a local geographic area. Somebody like me, in addition to being a podcaster, I'm a speaker. I'm a motivational speaker that does like business around the country and internationally. How important is a Google My Business profile for somebody like me when it's not just a local business?
I would say it is not as important as having a physical location. There are a couple parameters that a business needs to meet in order to have a Google My Business page. And one of those is making sure that you do have a physical location. And if not, you can add a location area on the map, just showing what areas you help with. But as far as reviews, what I would recommend is having people just write you a review via email, and then you could create either a testimonials page on your website or add testimonials to each page on your website so that when people visit you, they can see those.
Yeah. And people are willing to write reviews or write you a testimonial when you do a good job. And so obviously you're doing a good job to make your clients happy.
Yeah.
And happy. It's kind of like the California Dairy Association, like happy cows make better milk or something.
Oh yeah.
So,
uh-huh.
Happy customers are more than willing to give you some testimonials and to write good reviews on that. So this seems, what we're talking about seems like a lot of work. And are there tips that you have for how to kind of automate what you're doing, how to make this a little bit more of a system than it is just a, really a grind to get all of the stuff done?
Yeah. I personally love automation. I consider myself an automation nerd.
Okay.
Self-proclaimed. So I use a program called Zapier, and Zapier is what I would describe as a connector app. So think of it as the glue that keeps two things that wouldn't normally stick together stuck. So as an example, let's say you have, I'll give you an example that I use personally, and then we'll go back to that review example and how you can use that. So when we onboard a new client, I add them to our accounting software, they're automatically added to our Google Drive. They create a project automatically in our time tracking software. And then it basically does 23 tasks automatically that I've set up in order to automate the entire onboarding of a new client process.
Holy smokes. And now is Zapier like a CRM software, a customer relationship management software, or is it, what kind of software is that?
Yeah. So I would create its own category. I would just call it a connector app. That's just my definition of it explain it. Yeah. So it's a connector app. So as an example, we use FreshBooks for all of our accounting. So when I add a new client to FreshBooks, it also creates a folder in Google Drive. So basically it integrates with all of these programs that wouldn't normally talk to one another. Like FreshBooks doesn't know about Google and Google doesn't know about FreshBooks. They don't talk to one another. But with Zapier in between, now when I add a new client, it automatically creates a folder with that new client's name in my Google Drive and streamlines the whole process.
Got it. Because I was saying, with CRM software, which I'm somewhat familiar with, it has a process or a flow that goes with it, And so when you add a new lead, it automatically then gives you the next steps of everything that you're supposed to do. But that's a different process. What you're talking about now is, a communication hub or a connector app in which it's making sure that whatever you're putting in shows up in all of the right places, even though it's in separate programs. And that is so important, because the different programs not communicating, sometimes you've got to manually do that. And when you manually do it, sometimes you forget a step or whatever that is. And this is making sure that it all works together. Fantastic. So do you have a suggestion? If somebody is thinking right now, I've got my business and I want to expand, I want to grow. Do you have any tips for things that companies can do right now to expand their online footprint or to improve their online presence and appearance?
Yes. So there are two things that I think every business should do in the beginning. And if they don't do it in the beginning, to start doing today. So the first one is to start asking for reviews. We touched on that earlier. And I just think that reviews are completely essential for any business. No matter if you're local, you don't need to get only Google reviews. Ask for testimonials, add them to your website. And then number two is start collecting emails now, because people that purchase from you now are probably more likely to purchase from you in the future as well. And even if you're not ready to start sending out an email marketing campaign or any sort of like blast out there, that's fine. Just start collecting them, because the worst thing ever is to say, oh, I launched this new product and this client I worked with 2 years ago would probably be interested, and you have to go back through thousands of emails that you sent to people. So those are the two tips that I would start utilizing now for any business.
Yeah. Fantastic, Caitlin. It you have given us a lot to think about and a lot of great ideas. I really appreciate that. If folks are trying to get a hold of you, what's your website? Where can they find you on social media? What's the easiest way to connect with you?
Yeah, so you can find us at southstreetmarketing.com. We have a toolbox tab on our website that is completely full of all of these amazing marketing tips and freebies. We have videos, we have our favorite programs. So if you all are interested in learning the programs that we utilize and love, those are on there. We also have free downloadables. So we have some worksheets that you can utilize to make sure marketing is working well. And then if you want to send us an email, it's hello@southstreetmarketing.com. And then feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm super active on LinkedIn. It's Caitlin Studi. And then we're also active on Instagram as well at SouthStreet_CO.
Fantastic. I will put links to all of that in the show notes so that people can find you and make it as easy as possible. And I will apologize for the fact that I mispronounced your last name in the beginning, but hopefully that I'm not the first one that's done that. And I hope that you are gracious with all of us who have.
Oh, no. I basically, when I got married, I was like, yeah, this is going to be like something that happens. It's not a big deal at all.
Nice. All right. So we have established that you are indeed smart. I have definitely learned from you. I feel like my listeners have as well. It's time for three questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. What does the perfect weekend look like for you?
The perfect weekend would be going to a farmer's market, grabbing lunch, sitting outside, and maybe hanging out with friends or family.
Excellent. So what are you picking up at the farmer's market?
Okay. There's it's called Over Rice, and it's kind of like Hawaiian inspired food. Okay. And I can just like imagine it right now. I'm like holding it in my hands and sitting in like one of those plastic Adirondack chairs, and the trees are blowing over me.
Right. So look, yeah. So you're in Central Florida, where you have the advantage of being able to sit in an Adirondack chair, with the sunshine and the trees and all of that stuff, in November and December, as opposed to I'm in Pittsburgh and we're not sitting outside. We're inside huddled up at the kitchen table over some warm soup because it's cold outside.
Yes.
So, all right. Next question is, if I were to come to the Orlando area where you're located, what is the go-to local restaurant that you would say this is kind of the flavor of Orlando, that, you know, or this is what you would classify as the best local joint? Kind of like the Guy Fieri Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. What's the local joint you say this is it?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so for anyone who doesn't know, Orlando's very much become a foodie location. I don't know if I can pick one. So let's do, okay, breakfast. I have a place for you. It's called Seven Bites, and it's basically a carb coma. There's something called the Seventh Trimester, and it's a it's a biscuit with mac and cheese and like bacon, and I don't even know what else is in it. But I got it one time, and I was like, holy camole, I need to go take a nap. So that's one. That's for breakfast. Okay. Then late lunch, there's a place called Pig Floyd's, and it's a barbecue restaurant, and it's barbecue, but with a Cuban spin on it. And so they have rice and beans and fried plantains, and that's incredible. Right. And then there are all of these other amazing, oh, my favorite pastry place is called La Cai. And that's in kind of a new area. It's called the Hourglass District in Orlando.
Okay.
And I love that. But also, pro tip for anyone who is ever visiting here, you can go to becomingalocal.com. And on that website, there's a 27-page guide of everything that you should do in Orlando.
So becomingalocal.com is not a universal. It's strictly for Orlando?
It's for Orlando. Yeah. So they're starting in Orlando and then expanding out to two or three other areas.
That's amazing. And I love that. And you and I apparently are of kindred spirit because like food is my love language. And so when you're like to have the places, all right, this is where you go for breakfast. This is where you go for lunch. And in the middle of all of that, this is where you pick up a pastry. And yeah, that is fantastic. And I'm coming down to Clearwater at some point. And so it won't be exactly the same because it's obviously a different area, but that's the plan. The plan is, okay, we've got to hit this place for breakfast. We've got to hit this place for lunch. And
that's amazing.
And also the other thing I love is that you're mentioning local places that it's not the chain. It's not like, well, my family really likes to go to Applebee's. It's like, no, we're going to this place and you know, the owner is in there and yeah, we're supporting small businesses and that's great. Last question for you. And that is what piece of advice did your parents give you that sticks with you to this day?
Yeah. There are a couple of major things. One thing that my dad always said growing up was it's better to sell pencils on the side of the sidewalk than work for other people sometimes. So creating your own business and just, you know, even if it's selling pencils on the sidewalk, making money. And then the other thing that they had me do growing up was they had me put something on the fridge that I wanted for a week. And then if I still wanted it after a week, then I could spend the money that we got for allowance on it. So it just helped put really great money thoughts into my mind and all of our minds growing up in my family. And then the kind of pencil thought process was there are other options than just working for someone else. So keep that in mind.
Yeah. Brilliant. Listen, thank you so much. I appreciate you being on. I appreciate you sharing. You have been so instructive and given us a lot to think about. To my audience, say thanks for listening. Check out the website. Check us out on social media. Follow us. And I will remind you, as always, that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.